I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
One of the things that excites me the most about what we do at Awaken 180 is to give back freedom to someone that may have lost their freedom due to weight. We want to be able to provide that to people.
And welcome, everybody, to All Hang Up and Listen, brought to you by Fatty Beer Company, Western New York's premier market and tap room with over 300 beers to choose from at 7 different Western New York locations. If you need a beer, get on over to Fatty Beer. Let them know that we sent you over from Two Goalies, One Mic. Live music, entertainment. You're trying to drown your sorrows after a Sabres game much late tonight. I can't say I'd blame you. It was pretty awful. So get on over to Fatty Beer. Let them know, again, that we sent you from Two Goalies, One Mic. They'll take care of you. And shout out again to our sponsors at Extreme Discount Mattress. With Western New York's finest selection of mattresses and adjustable beds, featuring the Cool Gel Memory Foam, two-sided mattresses, Tele Latex, organic mattresses, Chabanwells, and of course, Scott and Living, all for one third to half the supposed sale prices anywhere. So stop in at their 7 locations across New York or check out their website, extrememattress.com. That is extreme with an X. If you're looking for more savings, check out the new closeout center at 1625 Walden Avenue in Cheektowaga, up to 80% off their already low prices. Save a fortune on one of a kind closeouts and floor samples. Get a quality mattress for literally pennies on a dollar. Extreme Discount Mattress. We sell mattresses for less, a lot less. And remember, if you mention you're a fan of Two Goalies on Mic, you get yourself a free mattress protector with the purchase of any mattress from Extreme Discount Mattress. I'm going to bring in my co-host right now, Mr. Connor Hurley, who looks ever enthused to to do this show tonight, I will say. Hurls, I'm going to let you just jump right in. What was that?
I said it earlier in the game. I think they saw Tage get out of his funk a minute in and they were like, oh, cool, we won the game. Like,
yeah.
I get like having a bad game in game two and then getting off to such a good start and feeling some sense of optimism, but it was almost as if like they literally stopped playing as soon as they scored that goal.
Literally.
They had pressure in the first minute and they got the puck to the net and got an unfortunate bounce. It wasn't even this like amazing play. It was a fortunate bounce right on Tage's big back door.
And, right place, right time.
And then they got their doors blown in. I don't know. I probably shouldn't have done it. I'll delete it at some point. I do think it was a bad play, but right at the end of the game, Sam Carrick was, I don't know if you saw it until the end, but Sam Carrick was along the boards and it looked like he wasn't looking and Arbor X high or whatever, whatever the fuck Arbor Jackass was holding him. Arbor Jackass was holding him and they were like with each other and it looked like he wasn't looking. Maybe he was, I don't give a fuck. Canadians fans are, I muted the conversation, but I posted the video. And Jackass punches him and he falls down on the ground like almost immediately. And it looked from afar like he Todd Bertuzzi'd him, which is what I said. They're all flooding my mentions. It's going to be a fun night.
I got your back. I'll hop in.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Like I didn't see the replay before I did. Either way, it's a dirty play. It's a sucker punch. Even a lot of them are saying that. But yeah, I mean, that's not the reason the Sabres lost. Alex Lyon's not the reason the Sabres lost. That power play that Benson almost scored right along the goal line. That could have made it 4-3 with 12 minutes left. That could have changed the game. And it didn't go in the net, and they didn't get the bounce there. Could have been a completely different game. And I really do believe with that momentum, the Sabres could have tied the game. But largely, yeah, credit where credit is due. Montreal was the better team tonight without any question about it. They absolutely worked the Sabres in almost every single facet of the game. And I hope this is a real look in the mirror moment for this team, because I think they probably got a little bit too big for their britches after game one, thought that they were potentially going to coast somehow into the Eastern Conference Finals when every single projection of this series, not that they look at this type of stuff, but they know how good of a team Montreal is. They split with them during the season, said this series was going to go seven games. And I think they just thought I mean, not if they play the way they did tonight.
Well, if they play
the way they did the past two games, this will be over in five. And it's not looking good at the moment. It really is.
I just can't see them laying a third egg in a row like that. There's just no way. I think this is a much better team than that. I don't know what's going on with Zucker or why he was even in the lineup. I just wanted to leave that comment here for our boy Rakeen. Thanks again for the super chat. Fucking embarrassing. As you can see, he's hiding his face in his picture. Honestly, don't blame him. And not also from Rakeen, guys not tying up sticks, not defending the net. How about that power play goal they scored? Who was that in front of the net? It was just literally standing there. Nobody within 5 feet of him. Like, I don't understand what the theory or the logic is of that on the PK. They've had a generally really good penalty kill all season long. We can get into the Greenway stuff with the stick too, but like the PK was atrocious. I mean, for the most part, the power play was atrocious outside of just Dahlin just making a great hockey play, a smart hockey play, seeing the lane and shooting the puck. But Sam Carrick didn't help the faceoff situation at all tonight. I think he was like 2 for 7. Last time I looked, he was like 1 for 6. And they were like a 34% in the dot. I honestly, Heroes, I audibly laugh now every time we have an offensive zone draw and Montreal just wins it cleanly. Just wins it cleanly. No, like, there's no battle back from Buffalo at the draw. It's comical to this point.
Yeah, the power. I mean, that's what I'm saying though. The power play where they won the draw. And obviously they got to work on the entries. They've been dog shit at the entry all season long. But in the third period, with about 12 minutes to go, where they could have absolutely changed the game, they won the draw and had sustained pressure the entire time. And I think Doan and Benson on the first unit is absolutely paramount. I think they need to replace Jack Quinn with Alex Tuck because Jack Quinn can't hold on to the puck and he can't hit the net. So why is he on the first power play unit? And they gotta figure something out. I saw today that dump and chase doesn't necessarily work on the power play, but you got maybe chip and chase. You got to try something different because
like.
It's not even the slingshot. It's the telegraphed pass to the half wall that every single team, if they've watched any Sabres power play all season long, knows is coming. Boston, I forget the guy who had two breakaways off of this. He jumped that pass like a NFL cornerback two times to get a breakaway on one because they know it's coming. If they know it's coming, why would you keep doing it? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Listen, like, I buckle the fuck up. Connor isn't going to have it not tonight with this piss poor play. We got to get you. We got to do two goalies, one Mike headband. I think it's time. Listen, I forget who it was. Me and you have been calling this out forever, but they even called it on the broadcast. It's like, they stack the blue line. Like, it's like half the time, do you even have your heads up? Like, yeah, again, chip and chase, dump and chase. Like, you can't do anything when you're getting the puck flat foot at the blue line and you have no momentum going forward. None whatsoever. They are going to stack that blue line every time, just like they did when we played Boston, where we only scored twice on the power play in six games. And it's the worst. I don't know how to say this properly, but like, it's the worst kept secret, I guess. Like, everybody who watches film enough on this hockey team sees, oh yeah, just got to put three guys at the blue line and you'll stop their power play. And like, I was honestly, Hurls, I thought they were going to challenge that goalie interference thing when the puck got by Lyon. I thought they were going to challenge it just based off the fact that they don't fear our power play. They're going to be like, fuck it. Let's take a shot. It's 50-50 chance. I thought they were going to challenge it.
Yeah, maybe so. Oh God, this is brutal. But it's 2-1, right?
Yeah.
The sky is slightly falling, but it hasn't hit the ground yet. So I think there is something to be said about getting your shit kicked in two games in a row. As you just said, it's been a while since this team has lost three games in a row, especially in regulation. So I believe that they are a team that's built to handle it, but there's got to be changes. There has to be changes. I was just going to go and look at the time on ice. Jason Zucker barely played tonight.
He like 5 minutes of ice time.
Yeah. Either he's hurt or they're choosing not to play him, which should be an indictment on the way that he's playing. So he played 647 tonight. If he plays game four, I'll be surprised. Sam Carrick played 617. He must have re-aggravated something, or they weren't ready to put him in, but that has to be a reason. He was on the ice at the end of the game. If I were Lindy, which I'm not, I would put Konstantin Helenius in for, I think it is Helenius, by the way, in for Jason Zucker. If Carrick is only going to play 7 minutes, like, you got to put Tyson Kozak back in. You can't have your fourth line center only playing 7 minutes. And mm-hmm. I would put Michael Kesselring in for Logan Stanley. I think that turnover tonight is reason enough to give Kesselring a shot. I don't think Timmins played particularly well tonight, but I don't necessarily think they would completely switch up the third pair and go Kesselring Metsä. I think a lot of people would be happy with that, but I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. And this isn't necessarily something I would do, but I do think it's going to happen. I do think UPL is going to play game four. And
I mean,
No. This is what I'm saying. I don't necessarily think it should happen, but I do think it's going to happen. And the reason I say that is because the rotation worked really well all season long. UPL was there.
Yeah, but the team showed up. The team showed up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
they didn't show up.
This is what Lindy does. This is not on Alex Lyon, and I'd like to preface that with that, because it's not.
No, I know. But I know you're saying it's not on Alex Lyon.
This is just what I'm expecting Lindy to do, and I think that's what's going to happen. So they got to play well in front of them, and hopefully we get the high-level, high-ceiling version of UPL, because I think at his best, he's very, very good. Obviously didn't show it in Game 2 against Boston. But to provide a spark for the team and to send a message, I think that is what Lindy's going to do. That's just my prediction.
I mean, again, regardless of who it is in net, Alex Lyon, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, fucking Colton Ellis, who, I mean, you have to show up. You said, it felt like they had just all this swagger after the Tage goal, which again was an unfortunate bounce off the backboards and happened to be in the right place, right time, which is great.
And like, not even guy, off the backboards, one off a Montreal guy and then off the backboard.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, two fortunate bounces.
Two bounces, yeah. But like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, you want to see that guy score that goal just to get him going 100%. But
didn't do much the rest of the game.
Yeah, dude. Like, the defensive is like, awful. I mean,
I know, I'm saying
at this point, would you agree at this point? I know Darlene scored on the power play, but why not give Byram a look on that first unit? Why not?
Yeah,
he's been so good for them offensively in the playoffs.
No, yeah,
run two defensemen. Run two defensemen.
Yeah, yeah.
The no, Jack Quinn's useless.
I would. I don't think you take your best player off your first power play.
But no, I'm just saying, run two defensemen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get Jack Quinn out. I would. He is fucking useless.
No, yeah, I would absolutely put Byram on the first unit. Even if it's Darlene, Byram, Tage, Benson, Norris. I mean, not Norris, sorry. Tage, Benson, Doan on the first unit, right?
Like, you don't necessarily have to do the umbrella. You don't have to do the quarterback at the top like Dalian. I think a lot of what they do is predictable. But I do think they can build upon what they did in the power play in the third period, because that was the best power play they've had in months. And they didn't score, yep. But they should have. They should have scored, and they didn't.
I mean,
so I just think that I don't think it's going to happen. I would love to see Byram, but I think replacing Quinn with Tuck and parking his ass in front of the net is the best way to go.
Would you? We talked about it too. I know you brought up Kesslering, but like, given the fact that they can't seem to generate anything off the rush, would you even consider Metz at this point? I mean, a good comment here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I think my ideal third pair for game two is Kesslering, for game four is Kesslering Metsa. Honestly, they can't be worse than Timmins and Stanley were tonight. There's no way. But in the effort to not switch things up completely, I do think it's probably going to be Kesslering and Timmins.
Yeah, I mean, we got comments from trade for Hellebuyck, Gustafson. It's the playoffs, man. You can't. I wish you could, but you can't.
Well, I mean, Connor Hellebuyck wouldn't have won that game tonight.
No, I mean, dude, Ryan Miller in his prime ain't winning you
like
that game tonight.
Like, peak Vladislav Tretiak wouldn't have won that game tonight. This was not Alex Lyon's fault. I just
the only goalie in the history of hockey that might have had a shot at giving you win that game is maybe the Dominator.
Yeah, like literally the best version of Dominic Hasek or Patrick Waugh potentially would have stolen that game. Alex Lyon gave them every single opportunity to go up 2-0, and they decided not to play once they got up 1-0, which is plain and simple. That's all that happened tonight. They got up 1-0, and they thought they were going to coast to a victory in one of the best road environments in sports, which is insane. Which is just absolutely insane that they thought the Canadians would just lie down, and they somehow like went into a shell and didn't play their game, didn't play with speed, didn't play with skill, and just sat back on their heels and were like, oh yeah, Alex Lyon will save us. And he even did prior to that first goal. That goal went off Timmins and in the net. He made the save he needed.
Yeah. If that puck isn't getting deflected on its way, it might have even gone wide. I can't remember. But, like, Alex Lyon was there in position to make a save.
Yeah, this is a good one. Another reason I think Jason Zucker shouldn't play on Tuesday. He passed up a shot in the slot. I think going over to Timmins. If you have 6 minutes on the ice and you're passing up your only opportunity to shoot, you can't play on Tuesday. Can't play.
Yeah, listen, and can we talk about
– it's no disrespect to Jason Zucker, but he doesn't have his game.
Good comment there from Jim. Also, Quinn McLeod Zucker, again, invisible. I don't know if you remember it. I think it might have been the second period, but on a bad angle, Quinn tried to pick the corner. You know, Dobis was in his RVH, and the puck went like 3 feet over.
It wasn't even
fucking close, bro.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if Helenius doesn't replace Zucker, it's got to be Quinn, but I do think it's going to be Zucker. It has to. Like, if you're only playing 7 minutes a night, like, you can't play in the next game. You can't.
Yeah.
They were talking about it pregame on GR that it would be Zucker that Helenius would slot in for if it does happen, but especially after that game with no shots on net, no opportunities, a passed up shot in the slot and only 7 minutes of ice time. Konsta Helenius needs to play game four. And
I thought he should have played tonight.
I'm saying this is like a break glass in case of emergency type situation. Like, yeah, I mean, he should have been in the lineup game one, in my opinion, but he's not. And Noah Oslin's not coming back. You need a spark. He might not even be the reason you win the game, but he's going to provide more than 7 minutes of Jason Zucker.
Yeah. Owen Power legacy game tonight at this point. I'd rather have OP over 20. Like, Alex Tuck, too. Yo, what was Alex Tuck complaining to the ref about? You're like, he blatantly high.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in that, like, I don't think he saw that he got him, is my
own. Oh, my God. Right?
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't been great. Aside from Tage's fortunate bounce leading to a goal, he didn't do much. I thought Dallin had a good night tonight. I really did. I thought he bounced back from one of his worst games of the season last game. Benson was great. Doan was great. Somehow that line is, aside from the Alex Newhook line, Jesus Christ, that guy's on a heater. Aside from Benson and Doan, Josh Norris is doing nothing. He's just absolutely he's doing nothing. Someone in my group chat said that he'd rather have Dylan Cousins back. And at this point I would too. It sucks to say, but he's not playing like he's ready for the playoffs at the moment, which is unfortunate.
I don't want to hear the excuses about health either anymore, man.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he is hurt, like, but everybody's hurt this time of year. So, it's just not good.
That's none of your business.
It's not good at the moment. Even the penalty kill, like I think the penalty kill has been good all year long, but I think they're too reliant on sticking to their box. And I think they should, Jesus, that's a long comment. I do think they need to apply a little bit of pressure because
it's covering half my face.
This Canadiens power play is so unbelievably skilled. They're so good with the puck. Leaving Juraj Slafkovský wide open in front of the net is it's a death sentence. It is a death sentence, not only for a tip and a rebound, but the guy with some of the best hands in the league, you're going to leave him wide open in front of the net. Like, why would you ever do that? It just, the reliance on the box sometimes.
Former first overall pick too.
Yeah. The reliance on the box sometimes is really frustrating to me. And I think that's coaching. I think that's like, hey, if you stick in the box, everything's going to work itself out. They'll have to keep it to the outside. But if there's a guy wide open in front of the net, what is Alex Lyon going to do? That went off him twice and then in the net. It's tough. I really give Lyon a lot of credit tonight, especially in the first period. He gave them a chance to not only win the first period, but go up 2-0 and take a hold of that game. I honestly believe had the Sabres gone up 2-0, they still would have lost. But he absolutely battled his ass off tonight. I give him all the credit in the world in a really tough environment with people screaming at him all night long. He played a really, really good game. The only one I would potentially say, and this was an odd man rush, bad bounce off the back wall. And it goes through his legs and he's not able to track it off the back wall. That would be my only thing. But
yeah, that's an unfortunate bounce.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like him to track it, but like, that's just me just picking hairs, splitting hairs.
One that went off the post, right? It hit the post and then, ended up behind him and, you're kind of like a fish out of water. They're just trying to find the puck in a lot of chaos around you. It's tough.
Other than that, not on him.
Yeah, I do want to read this comment because he took the time to write this long one. They didn't do enough of the deadline for me. Logan Stanley helped last series, but he hasn't nearly been enough. They needed to add a top 9 forward as well. I know in hindsight is 2020 with the injuries, but I wish they would have made a push for Trocheck or even a guy like Eric Hall at the deadline. I feel like they could have used another center, capable player, strong on draws, provide insurance in case a guy like Norris got hurt, or in case he disappeared, kind of like Montreal did with Deneau, because that's the exact move they made with him.
Sorry, say that one more time. At the end of it, what did he say?
Oh, let me find it again. They didn't do nearly enough at the deadline. Logan Stanley helped last series, but he wasn't nearly enough. They needed to add a top 9 forward as well. I know in hindsight, it's 2020 with injuries, but I wish they would have made a push for Trocheck or even a guy like Eric Hall at the deadline. I feel they could have used another center capable, strong on draws, provide insurance in case a guy like Norris got hurt or in case he disappeared. Yeah. That's exactly what Montreal did with Deneau, by the way. 100% exactly what they did.
I mean, I do think they tried, right? Like, Sam Carrick was a really good addition, and before he got injured, he was a very important player for this team. So, not a top 9 guy, but I do think Sam Carrick was a really good addition. They tried to get Colton Parayko. It didn't work out, and they ended up with Logan Stanley and Luke Shen instead. And while Logan Stanley has been a somewhat capable third-pairing defenseman for most of the playoffs, tonight you saw some of his defensive deficiencies, and they reared their ugly head. I would say that I mean, as far as we know, they tried on Robert Thomas too, right? They did.
Yeah. So we got a celebrity in the chat too, by the way.
Hey, Lazzy,
they try and get Thomas and Parayko. They did, but the rumor is Lazzy, and it hasn't been verified, but the rumor was one of the reasons why that Robert Thomas deal didn't go through was because Yarmo wasn't willing to part with Josh Norris. Don't know how true that is, but that is what's going on through the rumor mill right now. And you look at it now, you're like, wish you would have made that deal, because
not great. Yeah.
Not great at all.
Yeah, hard to say if that's true though. You know what I mean? I would be one to think that it's, and this is a good point. I think we can look at these two games logically and be like, they got their shit pushed in and it looks really bad right now. But let's say they respond and play well on Tuesday night. It's 2-2 home ice advantage going back home. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Lazzy doesn't think they should go back to UPL. Just stick with Lion.
And again, like, I don't necessarily think they should either. I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, definitely it's very possible given Lindy's history, but I know some people thought they would go to UPL after that last game two loss, and he didn't.
No, I didn't think it would happen after the game two loss, just because Lion's numbers were so good. And I don't think game two was on Lion either. But if there's two games in a row where he gets 4 and 5, maybe not necessarily on him, but just to create a spark amongst the team, I do think it's going to happen. And to Lazzy's point, I think UPL at his best is as good or better at Alex Lyon at his best. When UPL is on his game, which we've seen in the 2 months after the Olympic break leading into the playoff, he's a very good goalie. Like, we've seen 2 to 3 month stretches of UPL being an unbelievably good NHL goalie. The consistency has always been the issue. And obviously he had a really, really tough game in game two of the first round. But I do believe Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's ceiling is a tiny bit higher than Alex Lyon's. I think Alex Lyon's floor is significantly higher. I think we all know that. But I think UPL could absolutely steal a game, and I believe that.
I just don't know if doing it in the Bell Center with that crowd.
Yeah, well, if you're not going to play an NHL goalie because of the crowd, what do you say about that goalie?
Well, that goalie also let in a goal from center ice the last time.
I think that was an aberration, right? Like, how many of those goals has he let in his career?
It can't happen in the playoffs.
Of course it can't. I no one's excusing it. But what I'm saying is that, like, if you don't trust your starting goalie, A1B, enough to start a playoff game in a tough environment, shouldn't be on the team.
I agree with that, because
is very much earned his roster spot, and he was the best player on the team from the Olympic break to the end of the regular season. So I believe that he is capable of going into game four and winning that game. I very much believe that. He is a very good goalie at his best. Obviously, he's had consistency issues, and he's had a couple issues with rough goals here and there, but I do believe he has the highest ceiling of any goalie on this roster.
I hope you're right. I mean, I just, at the end of the day, I care about winning. From another counter, I just don't think you can throw UPL into the fire of the Bell Center in a must-win game. I just agree with that. I do. And agree with you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you can't trust him because of the crowd, then, he shouldn't be on the team.
Well, you didn't trust him enough to play in the last five games in a row.
But how well
$5 million a year.
Of course, but like, how well has the rotation worked all year long? Of course they went to Alex Lyon after game two. Of course they did. And then he took the bull by the reins, and he was able to put up a 137 and a 974 save percentage through game one of this series, and he never let it go. But now we're down 2-1. He's let in, not necessarily his fault, but these are just the objective numbers, 4 and 5 in two straight games. And you've got a guy as your 1A or 1B sitting on the bench who hasn't played in a couple of weeks, who is a bit younger. And I think, I don't think a lot of people would disagree with this. UPL at his best, I believe, has a higher ceiling than Alex Lyon. And that's no disrespect to Alex Lyon. I think they're just different goalies. UPL is way more athletic. He makes unbelievably acrobatic saves, and I think he can steal a game. I mean, Alex Lyon tried to steal a game tonight, but they clearly just weren't even close to being good enough to allow that to happen.
More from Lazzy. I love the comment. It's not because of the crowd. He hasn't had a taste of the series yet. Lyon has. That's why I think you stick with him. I think if they were going to go UPL, you should have played in the third tonight.
I thought they might pull Lyon after the second. That's something I considered in a similar way to they did to UPL in game two of the Boston series.
I actually agree with that, because if you were planning on playing him in game four, you would want UPL to get some game time reps in the third period.
Had they not scored that goal on the power play to make it 4-2, I think there's a chance they would have pulled Lyon. But they probably thought the game was in reach still, which it was, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Had they scored on that power play, had the puck for Benny that went across the goal line and the power play went in, it's a completely different game. So, no, it is a good point. Hasn't had a taste of the series. This is my...
Yeah, it could go either way. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong that they're not going to go to UPL. I just don't think they should.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think they should either. I just think that there's a chance it happens. And I believe if they do, he can steal a game. And he shouldn't have to steal a game. Like, these are theoretically two even teams. If you're getting your shit pushed in and you're getting completely outworked, outshot, losing every faceoff, getting out hit, like, your goalie's going to have to steal a game. But that shouldn't necessarily have to be the case. Your goalie make the saves that he should and not necessarily be subjected to having to steal a game. That's not what the goalie's job is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cliffy, we're not like debating that we think he should start. We just are debating what we think Lindy might do.
Yeah. And the announcers were doing, we'll get to the announcers in a second. I actually like Sean McDonough a lot, but Ray Ferraro is just absolutely horrible.
And Lazzy, if you're still in the chat, I do want to talk about that Greenway stick thing. Let me know if you're still in the chat. No, continue what you were saying, because that's something I do want to talk about.
So it's a worthy discussion. I really do believe it is, because who starts game four for this team is incredibly important. But it shouldn't be that important. The team should play well enough in front of their goalie so he doesn't necessarily stand on his head. Throughout the season, throughout the first round, Alex Lyon played well enough, but he wasn't subjected to a ton of odd man rushes, high danger chances. He was good, but he didn't have to be great. Obviously, Montreal has a lot more speed and skill, but look at what he had to do in game one. He played within himself. He was composed. He got in front of the shots that he needed to, but he didn't have to steal a game or play out of his mind. The past two games are not on Alex Lyon. They are not on the goaltending, and theoretically they wouldn't have been on UPL if he had played either. The team just got absolutely outworked in every single facet of the game once it became 1-0. And it doesn't matter who was in net. It really doesn't.
Yeah. We mentioned before, you would have need prime Hasek or Waugh to steal that game tonight. That's how bad they played. The Greenway thing. And I know Lazzy, he had some comments in too. I want the chat to chime in as well. In that situation, I've always been an advocate of it, even as a goalie. Like, I just think a player is absolutely useless without their stick on the PK. Like, you can't take away a lane. You can't play the body. Like, you can't play aggressively.
So you're saying he should have skated to the bench?
I think he at least, when he was 10 feet away from the stick behind the net, gone and gotten it. 100%.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was there a couple times.
Yeah.
Was it broken or no? Stick to the defenseman, huh?
Was it broken or no?
I don't think it was broken. Was it broken? I don't know.
It might have been.
It didn't look broken to me. The reason
anytime I think a stick on the ice is usually it's broken. But
yeah, I looked like to me, I could be totally wrong. But even so, do you chance five, or if you're just sending a guy off for Greenway, not even letting him do the circle around? I actually honestly agree with that. Just have a guy ready, sitting over the top of the boards, ready to hop as soon as Greenway gets there. That's what I would do personally. Not even have Greenway go and get a stick. Just have a guy ready to go. Because that power play specifically, Hudson, Suzuki, Slavkovsky, like, they're just so dangerous. No, Dobson, like, they're so dangerous. I would risk playing a 5-on-3 for 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds rather than be like, and like Lazzy said on Twitter, it's just chaotic. You can't play your box that way. You can't play a proper, you know, organized PK when one of your players can't take away a passing lane,
right,
or can't take away a shot lane, or can't tie a guy up. It's just impossible.
Yeah, I mean, and even we were talking about the box earlier, I think it was just way too conservative from the get-go, right? They're giving these guys
100%
so much space, so much time. I always think the best PKs are the ones that apply pressure. And yeah, how much time did the kill to break
fell? At least 30 or 40 seconds.
Yeah, and maybe that was the reason the box felt as conservative as it did, but they gotta switch something up, because so far the Montreal power play has done really, really well for most of this series. And look at, like, you get a guy like Cole Caulfield, who's been snake bitten for most of the playoffs, scoring a goal. Mm. That's a bad guy to get hot. If Alex Newhook is your leading goal scorer, and Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki and even Juraj Slafkovský haven't really heated up yet, that's bad news. So they got to try something different. They got to apply some pressure. Both special teams units need to watch the film, sit down, have a hard look, and figure out another way to look at it. Because I just, right now, I think they are getting their shit pushed in for the most part. And
100%.
And it's
embarrassing.
And it's not even just the players. They're getting out coached. And I mean, obviously game one, I think that there was something to be said about Montreal coming off that emotional game seven, only having a couple days of rest, and the Sabres taking advantage of that. They clearly were the better team in game one, and they showed it. But in the past 120 minutes, it has been 150% Montreal. And it's not even close who's been the better team. And that's just not special teams. That's at 5-on-5 too. So hopefully, as I said it earlier, this is, you take a hard look in the mirror, you figure out what your identity is, you go back to the way that you were playing that got you 109 points in an Atlantic Division title this season. And this is the wake-up call they need, because clearly they didn't have it after game two, and they still had a bit of hubris getting up 1-0 1 minute into the game. I think that's probably the worst thing that could have happened to them tonight.
I don't know if this is true or not, but William Whipple says Carrick is back in concussion protocol.
Oh, maybe that's because he got sucker punched at the end of the game. Yep. How about that? I fucking hate fucking Habs fans.
Dude. Arbor Jack-Eye. What'd you call him? Arbor Jackass?
Arbor Jackass.
Arbor Jackass. Yeah, filthy play. Absolutely.
I don't even want. I don't even want to look at my mentions. I'm gonna.
Actually, I want to ask Lazzy one more question in the chat too. You being a guy who pays a ton of attention to Tage, has played with Tage, knows him pretty well. Like, how healthy is that guy, especially after the McAvoy slew foot earlier in the ball? Because he has not looked like the same guy since. We all heard his comment to Paul Hamilton when he was asked about his health. You know, it's none of your business. I don't think, it looks like a hamstring or a groin to me. He just does not have the explosiveness. He's not playing. He's not quick to pucks as he normally is. And he's trying to force too much while not being at 100%. I truly believe he's not. Nobody's 100% right now. But
yeah, everybody's hurt.
You can tell, man, he is dealing with something right now.
This is Tage you were
talking about? 100%.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I don't think he answers that question in the way he does after game two if he wasn't hurt. Matt Beauvais said it really, really well, that there was a better way to answer that. And the best way to answer that was, no, I'm not hurt. But, yeah. I'll be completely fair on this. He had the worst game of his career. And then Paul Hamilton shoves a mic in his face and goes, "Hey, are you hurt?"
Yeah.
I'd be pissed.
I kind of wanted him to do it again tonight.
Are you still hurt?
Are you still hurt?
Yeah, like I'd be pissed too. There was a better way to answer it, but in the heat of the moment, I would have been a little bit fired up as well. So it's not the end of the world. He's definitely dealing with something. Benson's probably dealing with something, and he's still playing like the best player on the ice. So
that's a fucking dog, dude.
That's the modus operandi for this time of year. And if you can't hang, then hang them up,
right? Like mm-hmm. I'll hang up and listen, hang up your skates. If playoff hockey's not, if you're not built for it, then you're going to get bounced. And I think both Tage and Alex Tuch, specifically on the forward unit, need to look themselves in a mirror and figure out how they can will this team back into the series. Because if your best two forwards aren't producing, then they're going to lose.
I think we got some Habs fans in the chat.
Let's go.
This guy, what's up, boys? Milo is us. Why am I a sucker punch? Greenway is a scary little.
I mean, we're not talking about Jordan Greenway in that context. So learn your facts. It was a sucker punch. He held him by the jersey and he punched him in the face. So what if your definition of a sucker punch is different? That's fine. I did say Todd Bertuzzi. He was kind of looking at him, so it wasn't Todd Bertuzzi. Maybe that was incorrect, and I acknowledge that. I'm not perfect, but he punched him in the face at the end of the game when the whistle already blew. I know there were
and now scrums. He's in concussion protocol, which is
sick. Yeah. There were scrums all game long, and that never happened. So I don't know. Whatever, man. We're not all. Maybe the fans should fight each other. How about that?
No, that'd be something, man. And
I would start with Blade Gang against the rollerblading guys that HFTV. He couldn't even skate. Like I don't even know why he put the blades on, to be honest.
And then all that nonsense about I don't know what happened after the game and all that stuff. That all that rules rumors and
I didn't read it.
Yeah,
I'd like to see the proof.
Yeah, we would love to see the proof. Like there's been no proof given. And then he put up ads with his article on Twitter, so they get paid for it. And it's just rage bait, personally.
Like at the end of the day, they've got our number right now. Not only does the team have the Sabres number, the fans got ours. Like I was getting messages about acting like we won the Stanley Cup after game one. I don't necessarily think that was the case. I think as fans, you're allowed to celebrate a win. And you're also allowed to mourn a loss and be logical about it. And right now it's not looking good, but guess what? They win game four in Montreal. It's 2-2 going back to Buffalo. And I know who will be worried in that case.
From Nicholas DiPerno with the super chat. Thank you, bud. Negative. We are playing like crap and down 2-1 positive. If we win the next game, we are back to the favorite in a great spot. Agreed. You get your home ice advantage back.
Precisely.
Game four. So, couldn't agree more. Sabres in six. A couple more comments.
I would be shocked. But
I do want to give a couple shout out. I was at Watkins Glen today for NASCAR because you know my employer is one of the sponsors for a few of the drivers, and we met some two goalies, one Mike fans, believe it or not, out there. Mike and Mike Senior. Shout out to both of you. Thanks for saying hi. That was pretty cool. And then, Mike G and his dad, Mike, and then Jackson Russo, one of, my buddy's sons, spotted us too. So shout out to you, Jackson. Thanks for always watching. I want to kick it back. There was a couple other things I wanted to speak on. We touched on the Greenway thing. We touched on, do you feel that the penalties were like a little bit one-sided tonight? There was a lot of talk about that too. Just very soft call. Like, how about the goalie interference thing? That's what I want to talk about. Like, how are you going to call? I mean, goalie interference is goalie interference, okay? You're going to call Malenstein, which you could argue, you could debate that all you want and say, oh, he didn't try and get out of his way. I think if you slow it down, you could see he did try and put the brakes on and even try to avoid him to a bit. But I understand calling that goalie interference, given how bad it looked.
And yeah.
I understand why you're calling that.
Yeah, I'm not too upset about that one.
No, but how can you call that and not call the one against Alex Lyon? Because it's no different to me.
Which one was that?
Where he
fell on him.
Yeah, he went right into his leg.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right into his knee.
Yeah, should have called that. I think the Doan tripping call was soft. And I think the Darlene makeup call after the Doan tripping call was also pretty soft. Those two are unrelated. Either way, those are the two that I didn't like the most. I'm not going to complain about penalties unless it's something egregious that costs you the game. It is what it is, right? Like, I don't think it was necessarily one-sided one way or the other. But I think that Yeah. Unless it affected the outcome of the game, I'm not going to complain. Who cares?
I think the biggest criticism here of Tuck on this comment isn't that like he played like terrible. I think like the one back check with him and Tage on the, I forget which goal what was, maybe you see a little bit more of an effort there. And then maybe that penalty, the high sticking penalty. I think those are the two probably biggest criticisms. But like, here's the thing. And here's the biggest criticism of Alex Tuck. This is a guy who allegedly wants anywhere between $10 and $11 million a year and has virtually been invisible this series so far. And if you're going to pay a player that kind of money, you gotta produce like a $10 to $11 million player. I don't think that's debatable. You have to.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't.
Yeah, he hasn't.
But neither is Tage. Neither is anybody else.
I thought he was great in the Bruins series. I thought top to bottom, one of the best Sabres forward through six games in that series. He asserted his will. I think after that series, everybody was talking about potentially giving him 8 times 10.5 and just like signing it and forgetting about it. But if he were not to show up for this series and then they lose in the second round, I don't think that opinion is gonna be the same. I think it's a good point made by Johnny. Like, I don't necessarily think that he played horribly, but he's got to produce, and so does Tage. And that's really what it comes down to at this point. I think that top line was really good for the end of the season and even in the first round, but they've been kind of silent, and they had their worst game of the season last game. And aside from Tage's goal, a minute into the game, didn't do much tonight. Yeah, you can have some good setups here and there. Like, I think even like getting into the zone and having possession on the entry is all fine and good. But if you're not going to be the one to be a catalyst in the offensive zone to high danger chances, both him and Tage, I think that you're not getting the most that you can out of one of your best forwards. He's not the worst Sabres forward at the moment by no stretch of the imagination. Like, I think we could point to a lot of different players, namely Jack Quinn or Jason Zucker, but they potentially might be out of the lineup for Game 4. So that's a completely different discussion. I just know that 89 and 72 need to have their best games of the season in Game 4 for this team.
Yes, 100%. And if you want to have a chance coming back to Buffalo and not be down 3-1, I mean, this is hockey. Never say never. Being down 3-1, you can always come back.
This is a good comment. At the end of the day, I'm just happy to be here. I'm also happy. Like, this, like, to put it in perspective, us complaining about these things in the second round of the playoffs, after winning the Atlantic Division, having 109 points, going on a historic run in NHL history for the final 5 months of the season, it's incredible. I think whenever this thing does end, we can look back on this as one of the best and most exciting and most fun seasons in Sabres history. But the other side of the coin is this team is good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Final. I believe this team at their best is better than Montreal at their best. And they showed that in the standings this season, 109 to 106. So you can be happy to be here. I think we're all happy to be here and debating this in the playoffs. But it doesn't mean we can't be frustrated that through the past two games, they've played two of their worst games since early December.
Yeah, I agree. Before we kick it back to our sponsor, I'd like some of you in the chat. If you're Lindy Ruff, how are you shaking these lineups? Because I don't think you can roll the same lineup again, right? Like, you have to shake something up. That's the definition of insanity, is running out these lines again.
I can start it off, and then people can chime in if they want.
Yeah, I want to hear everybody's thoughts, Lazzy, especially considering the level of hockey you've played, and obviously, you know, following the game as much as you do. Want to hear all your thoughts. If you're Lindy Ruff, how would you shape these lines? So I'll give you guys about 30 seconds as I kick it back to our sponsors. Shout out again to Fatty Beer Company, Western New York's premier market and tap room with over 300 beers to choose from at 7 different Western New York locations. If you need a beer, get on over to Fatty Beer. Let them know that we sent you over at Two Goalies on Mike. Make sure that if you're looking for somewhere to watch the game this Tuesday, the Fatty Beer in Lancaster is throwing their giant watch party. It went over so well in the first round for Game 3 that they purchased a bigger screen to watch the game on because of how many people showed up and how far back the crowd went down Main Street. They're expecting even more people this time, so make sure you come by. It's going to be a blast. I'm starting to wonder, they might even do a screen at they might do a screen at each end of the street as well. They're going to have street vendors. They're going to have, you know, food. You get food from Fatty Beer. You can get food from Scoobs. You get food from Papa Grande's. It's going to be a blast. If you guys saw the videos, which I'll post later or tomorrow morning, just to kind of remind you all of how great of a time it was. We had 2,000 people out there just losing their fucking minds. And it, in my opinion, is the best watch party in all of Western New York for a Sabres away game. So please come out, support some of your local businesses. They shut down the street at 5:30, I believe. It is in the village of Lancaster on Main Street at the Fatty Beer, right in front of Fatty Beer. So please come out and support. Again, some local businesses, and come watch your favorite hockey team hopefully win game four. Actually, not hopefully, they will win game four. I'm going to call them and pull a Messier guarantee right now. And of course, Extreme Discount Mattress, Western New York's finest selection of mattresses and adjustable beds with 7 different Western New York locations. You can find them at extrememattress.com. They have over 300 different options for the different beds that they do have. They also have a new closeout center at 1625 Walden Avenue in Cheektowaga with up to 80% off their already low prices. And remember, if you mention you are a fan of Two Goalies on Mike, you get yourself a free mattress protector with the purchase of any mattress from Extreme Discount Mattress. So make sure you let them know that you're a fan of the podcast and take care of you. Hurls, I'll let you rip off first with how you would change the lineup.
All right. So first line, and I think this should reward the best player in the series. I'm going Benson, Tage, and Tuck on the first line. I don't necessarily think you break up your two best forwards, and I think you put the guy that is playing the best on the first line. That's a line that has had success in the past, and I think putting a guy that can win puck battles, forecheck, be a pest, get opportunities for two of your best goal scorers, I think that works. I really do.
Lazzy agrees with you.
I would do... Tage go and put Benson and Doan on his wings. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind that either. And maybe to even switch it up more, I think those two are potentially interchangeable. Then I would do Helenius with McLeod and Quinn. I think slotting in Helenius for Jason Zucker, who has literally done nothing and played 6 minutes tonight, getting a young, fresh guy with a really good shot with McLeod, who's got some speed. And hopefully that would spark Jack Quinn somehow. Maybe that would work. I would do Krebs, Norris, and Doan. I think Krebs, not necessarily as good as Benson, but I think he plays a similar way. And that line has been pretty good. Hopefully maybe a change of scenery, change of pace would spark Norris a little bit. And we know what we're getting from Josh Doan. Then if Carrick is healthy enough, I would play him. But if not, you got to go with Greenway, Kozak, and Malenstein. Maybe even Josh Dunn instead of Tyson Kozak to switch things up. I would go Darlene and Sammy, Power and Byram, and then Kesselring with either Timmins or Metsa. I don't necessarily care which one of them is on the third pair. I would like it to be Metsa to completely switch it up. I just don't think that Lindy is going to do it. I'd like to see line back in net, but I do think it is going to be EPL.
Okay, we had some people agree with you. Some people went back with Tage with Doan and Benson. I think if you want to get anybody going, I think the best way to go about that right now is have Benson on their line, because he's just a dog on the puck and he's going to do whatever it takes to dig out loose pucks, go into the dirty areas, and he's a great playmaker and he'll find a way to get your guys the puck. So if you got a guy on a cold streak, I mean, I think wouldn't be a bad idea to have Benson on the line with him.
Yeah. And I mean, let's say you do Benson with Tage and Doan, Helenius with McLeod and Quinn, and then Krebs with Norris and Tage. I don't mind that top nine. I mean, sorry, Norris and Tuck, right? I don't mind that top nine. I think if Krebs, Norris, and Tuck is your second line, that's not horrible. And if that sparks Tage Thompson to get him with your two best forwards at the moment, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I'm worried that Lindy doesn't panic and he keeps most of the lineup the same. I really hope he doesn't do that, because currently what they're doing isn't working. And yeah, even putting Tanner Pearson in there instead of, I mean, Greenway had the best game of his life, game one. That hasn't necessarily done great in the past two games, but I do like his size. I do like his penalty killing when he does have a stick. And I wouldn't necessarily go to Pearson at this juncture unless there's a
pretty catastrophic series of injuries. So yeah, I think the biggest one is Helenius and putting Benson with Page. And if you want to do Doan as well, great, but you need to switch up those lines because currently Zucker, McLeod, and Quinn is doing literally nothing.
Yeah. We got another Habs fan here in the chat. Sabres are not close to being as good as the Canadiens.
Wait, no, let's read this for how he wrote it. Sabres are not close to be good as the Canadiens. We got better D, better goalies, better forwards, and better fans. No Sabres fans in the Bell Center. Good luck next year. Little advice, put your goalie who let a goal from Redline next game. All right, learn English, first of all. If you're gonna come into the chat, speak proper English. If you don't know English, you can use ChatGPT, you can use Google Translate. There's a lot of options on the internet for you to search out. So I would appreciate you trying to speak in a legible tone, first and foremost. Second, it's 2-1. What are you doing? Somebody screenshot.
Yeah.
Like doing the na-na-na, hey-hey, goodbye, up 2-1 is crazy. If the Sabres win on Tuesday, we go back with home ice advantage. It's 2-2. What are you talking about? The series isn't over. And this is what I got shit for after being up 1-0. Oh, my God, I hate these people.
Dude, and like, listen, like another thing, too, is first off, Dobis, I mean, yeah, higher ceiling, but he really – okay, he let 4 in game one. And we're going to sit here and play – semantics. Oh, better goalie. Yeah, we didn't really challenge your goalie the last two games. We just didn't. Not until the third period of tonight, at least. Secondly, and this is what's hilarious to me. I'm sorry that today was Mother's Day and your tickets cost over $1,000 to go to. Sorry, I don't know many of the most diehard Sabres fans.
And also, like, I wouldn't even say they have better fans. They just have a longer history of having fans. And also the season ticket membership and the ability to buy tickets to be in the building is way more difficult. It doesn't mean you have better fans.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You have more fans and you've had fans for longer. That's it. Congratulations.
Yeah, about it.
Our tickets are $700 less because of the market that we live in. That is literally the only reason. So for you to say that you have better fans, I think is objectively wrong. But congratulations, whatever you want. You've got us right now. Just get out of my fucking chat and learn English.
Yeah, I agree. Get him, Connor. You got a lot of Rakeens on your side here. Connor. Oh, God. This is respect, brother. You're getting a lot of love and like a mixture of love and hate in the chat, but whatever, who cares? Mets in for Stanley. Your final thoughts, Earls.
I mean, Francois or whatever his name is, like, yeah, man, like, you got us right now. Congrats. It's 2-1, you fucking idiot. I don't understand, like, how you think this series is over. Like, if you know anything about playoff hockey, you know that this series and these two teams are evenly matched up. Yes, you've been so much better the past two games. We've gotten our shit pushed in. But in no way, shape, or form is this series over. If you think that a team that was the best team in the NHL for 5 months, and someone can check me on this, I don't think they lost 3 regulation games in a row in those 4 to 5 months. I don't think it happened.
No.
If you think this team is just going to lay down and die after being one of the best road teams in the NHL, I think you're sorely mistaken and you're in for a rude awakening. I really believe that. A rude awakening, hopefully after you take some English classes. And so get out of my fucking chat.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen you that fired up.
It's my entire mention at the moment. They were really quiet after game one, and we've opened ourselves up to pull out the sword and have the crowd run towards us, but that's fine. This is what happens when you lose in the playoffs. And just like our commenter said earlier, I'm happy to be here. I really am. I'm happy that my mentions are full of Canadians fans. How about that? This is fun. We're not playing.
No, we're not.
Like, I would love to be playing because apparently you guys can't skate. You don't know how to play hockey, but if you did, let's go. Let's drop the gloves. I'll meet you in fucking Messina. How about that? Halfway.
Yeah, we'll meet you. Where would we meet them? Like
Syracuse or like Messina or like Waterloo or like, I don't know.
I got a bum leg. I got a bum leg, Hurls, but I'll be there standing with you.
I'll drop him. Well, for me, it'd be Kansas, but I'll drop him if I need him. Whatever. Like, you guys have the upper hand right now. I would tread lightly. I'll just say that.
Oh yeah, 100%. For me, just thinking about this game, you know, as it says there on the ticker, you know, you dropped a deuce tonight. Let's just flush it, you know, move on to the next game. As Lazzy said earlier, this is why the NHL playoffs are the greatest sports spectacle, or, you know, playoff format system, just the greatest in all of sports, because you don't get this type of drama in any other sport, not in basketball, not in football, not in any other sport, man. It's incredible. And as bad as they've been the last two games, all it takes is just a couple shifts in a row to start the game. Look at the way the things went. I agree, two different teams in that game where we pumped Boston, like, in the first period for four goals. Just takes one period like that, man. This whole series has turned right around.
Yeah, absolutely. Sky is technically falling, but it hasn't hit the ground yet. So yeah. I think collectively as fans, we're not playing. We can keep it up. We can put suggestions out for the lineup that won't be listened to, and we can talk about it. Clearly, we have no impact on the game.
100%. And oh, you're muted.
Oh, there we are. Clearly, we have no impact on the game, and we won't on Tuesday night because we can't afford to get in. And neither can 95% of your fan base either. The people that are in that building are season ticket legacy holders and corporate fuckwads. The real fans can't even come
in that building. He's going again.
So, like, what are you even talking about? Like, there are a million people outside of your arena.
It's true, though.
You can't afford to get in either. That's the reason you come to Buffalo.
It's true, though. Like, somebody in the chat just said tickets cost like $1,000 to go tonight. What? Like, I'm sorry, man. I won't pay the only way I'm paying $1,000 to go to a Sabres game in Buffalo is if it's in the finals.
Yeah.
Only way.
Absolutely.
Not in this economy, in this country. Nobody can afford
this. This economy.
This economy. In this economy.
Yeah, thanks, Trump.
oh.
I just had to get it in there.
It's fine.
No, I mean, it's true.
It's fine. It's true.
It's true. So, yeah, I guess us and the Canadian people can agree on that. I'll just leave it at that. I hope you all have a good night. I don't mean to be too combative, but if you come in my chat, don't have proper grammar, and you say things that are untrue, then you're going to have to hear about it. So we'll see you Tuesday.
We'll see you Tuesday. Shout out again, everybody in the chat. Appreciate all the drama, all the fun. This has been one of our more, it would have been a lot better if it was after a win, but a lot of more entertaining chats in a while. So shout out to all of you. If you've enjoyed this podcast, we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your audio podcasts. You can follow myself at DwayneS39. You can follow my co-host at CHurls13.
Yeah, follow Twitter. Me, you good fucking Habs fans.
I fucking love it, man. I love this energy, man. Bring this Tuesday. You better. You can find us on Instagram as well. Those same handles at DwayneS39, DwayneS39. You can find the podcast at Two Goalies, One Mic. And if you're watching on YouTube, as I see a lot of you guys are, please, 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 if you're not already subscribed, please, please, please hit the like button, smash the like button, and turn your notifications on. Hit the little bell icon so you know when we go live, and subscribe. We love you guys all.
Appreciate you, Lazzy.
Appreciate you, Lazzy. Appreciate you, all of you guys in here. All the OGs, the Boring Byrams, the Alex Fox, let me see here. I'll give you guys some more shows up. The Dan Andersons, the Paul Hamilton, Watch Your Languages, you know, the William Whipples. You guys are all
Rickeen, our boy.
Rickeen is our boy. Love it. Chris Bard, and all the newcomers like Apollo in here. Buffalo Big Back. I don't know if I've seen you before, but shout out to all of you guys. There's too many names in here. You know, if we had more time, I would. But shout out to all of you guys who make this show a hell of a lot more fun to do, especially whether it's a win or a loss. So we'll talk to you guys later. And as always, go Sabres. See you Tuesday night.